What up, though? This is the Chill Bravado Podcast. I am your boy, Chill B. And you can catch me on Twitter at Chill Catch Vibes. And this is your Laker 82-16 series where we cover the grind of an 82-game season. And it's 16 wins to get the chip at the end, but that's the playoffs, so we're trying to work our way toward that. And during this episode today, episode 12, we're going to be doing our mid-season grading evaluation. We are halfway there, 41 done, 41 to go. We'll break down and talk about some of the grades for the players, or really just, you know, evaluation. We're not going to really be trying to make it too serious with grades and whatnot. And then we'll also speak about the surprises of the season so far, the disappointments of the season so far, in my opinion. And we'll talk about our current run where we have our four-game winning streak, and then it was snapped by the Memphis Grizzlies. And we're going to speak on that game in particular, not just to, you know, talk bad and be bitter, but we're going to also talk about how that could be some good medicine for this team moving forward and how they can look in the mirror and see what exactly they need to do moving forward as well. This is the Chill Bravado Podcast, Laker 82-16, midway through the season. Let's go. All right, what up, though? This is your Laker 82-16 Chill Bravado Podcast. On Twitter, Chill Catch Vibes. Instagram is chillbra_chillbravado. And we'll be talking right now. I want to jump right into the Grizz and the Lakers matchup from the other day, where they made it look, you know, yeah, we know. It's not that close. They was up by 29 points at one time. And the first quarter, we were able to, you know, hang in there 27-27. We ended that quarter on a good note because we were tied. But if you had watched it, you would notice one thing. It was a lot of LeBron. A lot of LeBron. Yeah. And then once that was not sustainable, well, LeBron was sustainable, but the rest of the team was not able to join in on the party. That second quarter and that third quarter, it really got bad. Because now Memphis, who pretty much, they had a game plan. They was like, we're not physically worried about anybody on this team because they were finishing over the top of everybody. Slow-mo, Kyle Anderson was just going in, shooting right over the top. Even Clark was off the bench, right over the top. Bane in the corner. The young kid who will play with Bronny, I think it's Williams, he was hitting shots. Everybody was hitting shots. Ja Morant didn't have to do much of anything but just control the pace and take on the double team and kick it, you know? JJJ, he played, you know, very well in that small ball lineup. So we definitely have some, you know, evaluating to do when we play against other teams who thrive in playing small ball, who are young and athletic, because we were playing small ball here recently in our winning streak, and we were able to out-offense guys. Malik Monk was able to just get hot, and just he's had a great 2 weeks, you know, 2.5 weeks, and that was able to form a great chemistry, which we'll talk about later on with LeBron. And you get to see that load of him being able to play out of his mind, which I think is not sustainable to that level. But we definitely seen a path where he has niched out a role that can be very effective, and I love it. And Avery Bradley played out of his mind these last games too, offensively. So this game I was looking at on the calendar, and I was like, if we are able to have some success offensively against this team, which I know we need to get our defense better, but if we were able to put some, you know, the ball in the basket and make them have to take it out, that would help our defense. But since we were not able to make shots, this also affected us on playing defense. Because now, guys, you just know how it is. When you hit some shots, you tend to get back down the court and play defense, get in your stance, and you ready to go. But guys were missing shots, and then once we get to the other end, Memphis is just like, all we got to do is just keep the pedal down. This team is older than us. This team is not more athletic than us. They got LeBron. Yeah, they have Russ, but we can handle Russ shooting his shot. We're fine with that. We're just not going to let him get in the paint. We're not worried about anybody else attacking the basket other than LeBron. And if he's in the mood where he doesn't want to go down here, we really got to win. But LeBron was amazing, and I think they were like, we'll take that. But defensively, the Lakers just could not get it going. Offensively, they couldn't hit the side of a barn. I don't know what that quote means. I just heard old people say it from the South. But all I know is it was just a terrible display of just how everything can go wrong. And then you got the Memphis Grizzlies chirping and barking. I wasn't even going to bring it up, but let's start on a good note. Ja Morant. I mean, amazing. We're going to talk about his block. We're going to talk about his ability just to be a problem for the Lakers. And he didn't even have to score 40 this time. But this guy was a problem. 31 minutes. You know, I think they say he was nursing a little sore back or something to that effect. So all he did was just drop 16 points. He had 5 rebounds, 7 assists, but he was a plus 20. He made his free throws for the most part, 8 for 12 from the free throw line. He didn't shoot the ball incredibly well, but you could just feel his impact. And that's something that he has. He has an impact. Nobody in, on the other side or for the Lakers are going to be able to match that. We have nobody. Monk not doing it. As far as guards, Monk not going to do it. Avery, you can try your best, but you're not going to be successful a whole game against Morant, because they're on a tear right now. They're winning games too. They're in a winning streak as well at that time. So we can't sit here and pretend like this is, you know, your daddy's Memphis Grizzlies team or Vancouver, whatever you want to call them. So we definitely seen, you know, a Ja Morant game where he's got back, you know, got to sit back and chill and just make a couple highlight plays. You know, Avery Bradley just not thinking, and he flips up a ball and he gets blocked at the top of the square by Ja Morant. So Ja did his thing. Also, you got Jackson. He 21 and 12. This guy was a monster. He had 6 blocks. So you don't have AD in that lineup. So now you have to face off against a team who is comfortable playing and logged a lot of minutes with this rotation they have. They have long athletic wings. They even started the Williams kid so he could guard Monk. Monk, who was very, 6'1", 2-ish. And he just didn't have the success because you got a longer, lankier guy on him. And now the help side is just as long and just as, you know, athletic. So it was definitely a wrinkle in the game that I after watching and appreciated what Memphis was doing, because that's the medicine that we needed. We need to play against a team that plays small ball and plays it well. We need them to show us exactly what they can do to exploit our size different. You know, we don't have AD. This is the game where you need AD to play against small ball. LeBron at the 5 has been one. I'll talk about this later as well. Surprising, and it's great when it's clicking on offense, but defensively it's flaws because we don't really have, you know, our elite rim protector. We can't play DJ and Dwight, who gives us energy. This year you can kind of see a difference in him athletically, but he's still very smart defensively, but he's just not that. He just doesn't have the spring in the step he had in the 2020 season, and it's showing, and that's fine because the man is getting, you know, years under him. He still has burst of athleticism, but his strength and his smartness seems to be his biggest tool that he's used right now. Mentally, you can see why he was multiple time defensive player of the year and elite defender, and you see it just because of his mental makeup and ability to still read and react and use his physicality. DJ, you could tell he was just a very athletic big. Like, his instincts defensively are not showing, like, you know, Dwight even at this age, but DJ, he served his purpose. We'll talk about him later as well. But Bane. That's what I was really hoping it was going to get into. Look, man. The T-Rex arms of Bane are very annoying to me. I didn't like it because, he was making shots. He was playing phenomenal. I'm not hating on that part. But then whenever, if there was even any chirping, but LeBron has a way to psych himself out. And guys started probably talking a little too much to each other, you know, doing a little, you know, passive aggressive stuff. And LeBron wasn't having it. He tried to spark, you know, himself, maybe even the team, but the team did nothing. They didn't jump on his back. And this is what we ended up being at. So we ended up seeing Memphis just take advantage fully of that before Reeves and the boys got in and kind of made it a closer game than what it was. We shout out LeBron for dunking on Jaren Jackson. Also, Dwight caught him a body on him as well. I still found some positives in that game because we need to see this. And I didn't want to see it without AD, but now that we see it without AD, it shows us that, okay, we can't just be satisfied with beating the Sacramentos, who we play again, by the way, coming up. So we definitely, the only thing worse than dropping this loss, like the way we lost to the Grizzlies, is if we turn around and lose to Sacramento. So I'm weird. We have a must win game coming up. We must beat Sacramento. Okay. I don't care about how many points. We have to win this game. We went 4 out of 5. We'll take that anytime during a stretch when we just lost one. So we're 4-1 in this little stretch in the beginning of 2022. So right now, we have to beat Sacramento. This is a game we need because right now, we no longer have the privilege of saying, well, we're just trying to figure it out. We have to now find a way to figure it out and win games because now we're trying to fight. Well, while everybody's getting healthier, everybody's going to make moves to help their push, we have been blessed by the unfortunes of those around us, like Denver and the Clippers and Minnesota and all these teams who have had a lot of, you know, health and safety protocol and unfortunate injuries. But we definitely have to take advantage now of getting wins, because then after we go to SAC, we have, then we have Denver. So yeah, we're gonna take this as medicine. We're gonna chop it up and take this, you know, take this nasty pill. But guess what? It's gonna teach us, okay, when we play against the elite teams, we have to bring a different type of energy. And you think you wouldn't have to teach guys that, but we also have to know that we definitely need our guy AD in those type of matchups. So we'll be right back and we'll get into some surprises and all type of things I've had during this mid-season. All right, we are back. Chill Bravado Podcast presents the Laker 82-16 series, and we're going to jump right into mid-season grades and reviews kind of thing. I'm not really worried about like being real, like, you know, strict with my grades, whatever. It's just kind of just give you a visual of how I view players or the play or whatever. So I'm just going to run through the big three as far as grades individually: LBJ, AD, and Russ. I'm going to run through them. Then I'm going to give you the three surprises and some disappointments I've had so far through the season. And, you know, then we'll just go from there and we'll kind of just speak on maybe the best wins and the worst losses we've had so far. And then we're just in the show where just kind of just talking about, you know, all the potential, you know, trade rumors and all those things. But nevertheless, let's get right into it. When we get to our LBJ mid-season grade, I give him an A. I mean, I almost... if he would have missed any of these games here in the last stretch, I probably would have dropped down to an A- just because of the lack of games. But now that we're seeing that he's relatively been staying healthy and all that, I kept it at A. He's still playing at a high level at his age, and his wheels have had a lot of tread off the tire, but he still reserved his body and his mind sharp. And also, we still see that he cares about the game and he can chirp back with the young boys as him and Bane got into it. And him and the Grizzlies got into it and dunked on the team, whatever, at 37 years of age. So we're giving him an A. But you can't see that, you know, that he's fighting that fatigue to carry this team. You can see moments in the game where you know LeBron's physically tired. You can see it. The shot sometime when that three ball's not falling, it's hitting off front rim. You can kind of just see that. But his ability to still fight through fatigue and carry this team gives me... just blows my mind. I appreciate it watching it because, you know, at this point in his career, he still has shoulders and he's always kind of mentioned that he's built for this. And we're going to continue to see, can he sustain it and can he stay, you know, stay upright? Let's hope he can. And let's see what he does. And if he stays healthy, I'm curious to see how far he can carry this team. And we'll talk about that later. I don't really want to get into, like, you know, what I, you know, expectations just yet. That'll be in the next segment. All right, let's move on to AD. AD, although I was going to give him just a straight up B, but I'm going to give him a minus. B minus only the reason I gave him the minus is because Cat punished him so bad in that last game he played in. That's the last time I seen you, so I had to drop you down. I'm not giving you a C because you let, at that point you were leading the league in paint points. And I think us as Laker fans, we just get so frustrated at seeing him not take the jumpers so much, but the holding of the basketball. The sitting back, the standing still, the isolation, the ball not moving. It is just not fun to watch. It's frustrating more when it gets a one and done trip and we just going back down the court jogging. It's very frustrating. So that's just kind of how it is for me. His numbers have been fine, but his effort and his ability to set the tone has been an eyesore. It's really hard to watch when AD's struggling or when he's not engaged, or when you can tell he's just not 100% healthy or confident, either one. And you can tell, also I felt bad for him because when we went small and, you know, the guys were out and you were playing with these little bitty lineups and you got him and then LeBron was out. So you got him out there trying to play the five, but playing the five without your big wings and without your defensive assignment guys who really know what they're supposed to be doing, tagging the big man, all this stuff, it just left AD in a bad way. And I just felt like that was a morale killer for him. And people were just like, why isn't he giving effort? Well, frustration, and these guys are human. So AD, I just felt like he was frustrated. He was playing tight at times. He was also playing through, I think, just a few bumps and bruises that I feel like, if he could just play and fight through those when he come back and we have him for the rest of the season, I think as the season goes on and he stays healthy and we start to, you know, get that team chemistry together, because we have 41 more games, so it's time to go to our second wave of ramping up, I feel like he'll be fine. So I gave him a B- just because he let Cat punk him in that game. Basketball, figuratively, not literally. And the battle on the Kentucky boys is always fun. All right, Russ. Last but not least, or maybe least in some of you guys' eyes, Russ, I gave him a minus with a C in front of it. So I gave him a C minus. If all my life I had to fight was a person, right? The early season, it was kind of a trivia game. It was like, which Russ is he going to be today? You know, he has been very stressful to watch, but not just because of him, but when you entertain and try to interact with people on Twitter, which can catch me at Chill Catch Vibes. It's just hard to enjoy the Russell Westbrook experience and the moving forward with Russ. Like, you try your best, if you're a fan of the team and you want to see them successful, you try to take these lumps with Russ and you try to say, can we learn from him? Can we build from him? And we had a stretch of games where Russ was fine and he was not the problem. And then that's when they, you know, turn on AD. It's like we have a fan base now, and not the full fan base, but a lot of people that we just get mad and go on Twitter. We just, you know, react, you know, and it's fine. I think that's cool, because why not? It's sports at the end of the day. It's not serious as some people make it out to be. But I know I take it seriously in the moment. But once that timer goes 0-0-0, I just kind of reflect on what just happened, whether it's win or loss. And you just try to, you know, take the good with the bad. But Russ seems to always get the bad end of the stick, and they make it seem like this guy is trash. And people try to measure these guys' game by their contracts. Like, well, you're not a such and such type of player, but you don't match your contract, blah, blah, blah. I don't really do all that. To me, that takes the fun out of the game for me. I don't sit here and say, man, you got to make this shot because you make $47 million or something like that. No, I'd be like, you got to make this shot because you're driving to the lane and you act like you don't know if you want to lay it up or dunk it. Like, that frustrates me with the misses, because everything that Russ does, whether it's good or bad, it's going to be, if it's good, it's going to be looked at as finally, you know? And if it's bad, it's like, here we go again. And I do get a little nervous when Russ drives in at certain angles, and he just doesn't slow down at all to finish the basketball. I don't even want him to try to dunk anymore. I want him to get in there and just lay it up and then stop. He has no touch around the rim at certain angles and certain speeds. It just alarms me. Like, why didn't I notice this as much when he wasn't on my team? I guess just because I seen him, you know, majority of the time finishing those dunks. And, you know, sometimes missing those layups. But now it's like, since he doesn't dunk it, it's just alarming to me. But needless to say, he has not been the full problem. We can definitely say he is, progress is in the making. And I'm curious to see what we do moving forward with him once we get AD back and embrace his small ball lineup. Because right now, you know, he had zero turnover games. He had bad shooting games. We were able to find ways to win through some of those bad shooting games. We found ways to win when he had zero turnovers. But then we also found ways to lose when he had low turnovers. So it's like we have to find a way to see if they're going to figure it out, because we don't have to find a way. The team has to figure out a way how they can get Russell to be Russ in certain pockets in the game. I think I say this so much over the last several episodes, but we don't need Russ to cook. We just need we just need Russ on standby, just in case we need him to, you know, be a DoorDash. That's all he needs to be. He needs to be a DoorDash driver, okay? He needs to be able to, when called upon with the proper tip, he will accept the challenge of getting the goods and delivering. And you can work at your own hours. And we can set that up to make it work for this team. So, look, Russ should be the perfect example of a DoorDash guy. All right, so moving right along without that, we're going to kind of move into the surprises, and we're moving to the disappointments, and then we'll kind of just talk about all those trade things at the end of the next segment as well. So we're going to hit those next, surprises and disappointments. Chill Bravado Podcast, Laker 8216. All right, we are back. Chill Bravado Podcast, Laker 8216 series. And we're going to get right into the surprises of the season so far, as well as some disappointments of the season so far. And I'm going to jump right into my first surprise, not really in the order, just the first one that I wrote down in my notes. Monk's chemistry with LBJ has been refreshing and surprising when we did the LeBron at the five lineup. Because, A, that move Monk into the starting lineup when LeBron had to move to the five. And I'll just say, I think we've had our most enjoyable run of basketball for the season these last couple weeks. A, because we're winning. B, because we were scoring. And C, because we got to see Malik Monk, who just overachieves in his vet minimum deal. Like, we probably need to enjoy this anyway, because he's probably not going to be back next year. I know I've seen a couple articles where they're saying this is how they could retain him. I chose not to read them because I didn't want to even worry about that just yet. But I just want to enjoy him at this moment. Malik Monk has been playing in an unsustainable level, but it's been very enjoyable. But let's see if once Kendrick Nunn comes back, he's going back to the bench. And I know some people are going to feel a type of way about it, but I just feel like when Kendrick Nunn comes back, Vogel's already said he's going to get a ton of minutes to see what we have in him. And I feel like Monk is probably going to go back to a bench role. And I feel like that will be fine. I don't think Monk has to start to get going, because he's shown that he's had slow first quarters, or he's had slow, or he just had moments where you just don't really see him, trying to get aggressive. Then he just explodes and goes just nuclear from three. Then he starts getting his bag and getting to the basket. I feel like he's such a good scorer, has a confidence level right now where he will be able to do that off the bench. But for right now, as we wait on Kendrick to come back, which could be soon, who knows? I'm definitely impressed and surprised by how Monk has, formed that chemistry to give LeBron kind of that Kyrie effect. Because this is kind of, when you seen the two-man game between Kyrie and LeBron in Cleveland, this gave me like a mini version of that. And I appreciate Malik Monk for that. Second thing surprising to me was the plug-and-play HBK Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves, man, I'm glad he came back from that hamstring injury and it has not bothered him. And then he came back from the protocol, got to hit the big game winner against the Mavs. And he has just continued to impress with his ability to just continue to just to be in the right place at the right time, play sound defense, shoot the basketball when open, kick it to the right person. It's just like he's a sponge, man. You can tell that this guy is going to be able to stay on a roster, and he should stay in the league for a long time just off of his ability to fit in next to these vets. And I'm just glad he didn't end up going to a Detroit Pistons or a Houston Rocket team, where he just probably wouldn't be able to display his IQ the way he is, because he'll be playing with, guys who are just trying to get theirs, or in an organization who is really just in like rebuild, we don't know what we're doing mode. So I appreciate what Austin Reeves is bringing to the table, and it's definitely a surprise. Plug and play HBK. Okay. And then my third thing is LeBron playing the five is surprising, not because it's working, but because we've got to that point. We have Dwight Howard and DJ sitting on the bench while LeBron plays the five. I think that surprised everybody. Nobody started the season saying, hey, we're going to play small ball when LeBron at the five. Starting. Playing several minutes. Now he will probably be the small ball center when AD comes back. When AD goes to the bench, he'll probably slide into that five spot. Slide to the five. And that's fine with me now that we've seen this. And I think, once again, Memphis showed us that it's levels to this small ball. So AD is going to unlock a lot of things when we go against those type of teams. And Dwight Howard is still going to have to be in the mix. He just provides too much energy, too much value. I do applaud Vogel for the other night. I can't remember which game it was, but he just made them figure it out and made them play through it. So, but we're going to definitely have to get AD back, Kendrick Nunn back, and we got to see what do we have when AD's at the five, and and he sees now how that ball is moving, how it's not sticking in one spot. And when we had success on that offensive end is when LeBron is able to, you know, space the floor, make the proper reads and kicks, and guys like Avery Bradley cutting back door. I'm not trying to get too caught up in it because I feel like that's what I'm doing next pod. Just seeing the Malik Monk LBJ pick and roll with AD cutting to the basket on the weak side, or AD at the top, you know, just so many different ways you can see this being a problem for defense to have to get back and help. And then let's not forget you have Avery Bradley cutting to the basket, or Russ in the dunker spot. So it's just so many ways THT being able to come down here. I just feel like we can be way more creative and not let AD come back and try to, you know, do his ISO ball thing or his post catches as much. You still need to do it just because we're going to have to eventually go to that in certain situations. But as of right now, man, if we can just keep that ball moving, I feel like it will be well-deserved. And so that's my surprises. Let's get right to the disappointments. And it's quite obvious and expected because of what we just said, LeBron playing the five. We are definitely looking to open up more roster spots, and DJ and Baze have been probably the biggest disappointments throughout the season. Not because, you know, it's not on them. You know, I'm not like blaming them. They tried it. They were two starters on opening game. And now they both find themselves getting, you know, blowout minutes or, you know, whatever type of minutes, not even rotation guys. And then looking to trade them away to open up a roster spot and keep from having to, you know, cut them and eat that money up, you know, for the rest of the year. And this kind of goes back, you know, I was talking about Stanley Johnson wanting him on the team. He's still on a 10-day. And I was like, well, if we want to sign him, we need to cut Baze, cut DJ. And front office being smarter than us, they said, no, we traded Rondo, opened up a spot. But instead of just quickly signing Stanley Johnson to the rest of the year, we put him on another 10-day. And then we're going to try to trade Baze or DJ or DJ and see if we can open up more roster spots. So Lakers playing it strategic right now, smart. I think the front office is still got some juice left in the tank, trying to figure out how we can you know, get through this season. The second thing I think is the disappointment has been the fans that live and die by every bad game. Not every game, but every bad game. And then the Lacy sports coverage, that, you know how I feel about that. Fans, we have definitely, after the games, when I go listen to the late show post game, you know, or I listen to just anybody who I listen to, a lot of people who cover the Lakers, and I look in the comments and I see what the fans are saying. And it's just like, we are very, very angry, rightfully so. But just when someone plays bad, you can't say, let's trade bad player. And then not only trade bad player, but let's get best player from other team for bad player. This is not 2K. And I just don't understand. I feel like a lot of us need to realize that when, it's not how life works. If you and your partner's having an argument, you don't just trade them away. And if you do, then that's fine. But do you continue to do that with every partner that you don't get along? The smallest of disagreements, do you just say it's over every day? Every day? I mean, let's just call it like what it is. We got to stop being toxic fans. Like we gotta really just look in the mirror and ask, if I messed up on my job or in my relationships, do it validate them saying I'm done with you, and then they trade me away and say I'm taking the best partner somebody else has and switching. Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Like, I feel like we're just unrealistic sometimes. These guys are human. They're going to make mistakes. I'm going to talk about what I feel like NBA talent, you know, what I think everybody has the notion that just because you have Russ, AD, and LeBron, that's enough to beat anybody, hands down, every game. And it's not. That's just not how it works. But my third disappointment is I'm going to the team now. I'm going to get off the fans like myself, who I often just blow up at the TV during the games. But third disappointment, the effort level, the losses and struggles against younger athletic teams is demoralizing. We're supposed, air quotes, to beat them, but it just looks so bad and it's so annoying. And I just can't take it sometimes. So that's my third disappointment. And the best wins, I think, were Miami early. That was our best win. Boston, always good to beat them. And the Hawks that we just smashed. And I just love watching Trae Young just not be able to get... He was trying to get those fouls going, but he just couldn't do it enough. He kept it close for a while, but I like that win. The worst losses were the OKC pick one, Memphis pick one, Minnesota pick one. Those are my, you know, worst losses. And Jeremy Grant continues to be a name that's thrown around in trade talk, so we'll definitely get into that next time. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that. We already kind of went over what I wanted to talk about. So we're going to get into the Jeremy Grant trades. We're going to get into the... I don't know. I'm less and less wanting the Miles Turner thing now that we're going small, and just the creativity of what we might get if there's even a buyout market type of situation. Who could we get? And who will please someone take DJ and Baze? I mean, come on, man. Anybody want them? Huh? Anybody? I got these cheeseburgers, brother. You want? You know? Anybody want to get DJ with a side of Baze? This is Laker. 8216 series, Chill Bravado Podcast. I'm your boy, Chill Catch Vibes on Twitter. Catch me. We got Sac Knicks, must win game. Then we get to see what the Joker want to bring to town. I'm your boy, Chill B. You guys enjoy yourself.